Isaiah 35, verse number 6. Isaiah 35, 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Our series, if you're a guest with us, is simply entitled In Desert Places. And streams in the desert. Remember that phrase. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Would you read that verse with me? Ready to begin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful night. Bless these final few moments as we learn how to experience the refreshing presence of God in the midst of the desert. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Having now lived in the desert for nearly 22 years, I can tell you there is nothing more refreshing than a desert rain shower. I love the weather today. I love the cooling trend. I love the clouds. And I love it in the middle of the summer when the clouds begin to roll in and the thunder starts to clap. We've had a few great family nights where we just sit in the backyard hoping for lightning and watching the rain. It's awesome when rain comes and refreshes us here in the desert. And sometimes, if you've lived here long enough to see it, you may have noticed that when it really gets raining, there can come streams through the desert floor. You may not realize it, but just on the east side of our property is what the city calls a 100-year flood zone. They had us deed that to them. We gave the city years ago, I think, 3 acres of our property for the 100-year flood zone. And I don't know if we'll ever need that flood zone or not, but just in case, they take those areas and they know that every once in a while a real gusher will come through this desert. And the Bible speaks of this matter of streams in the desert. We had this as our theme a few years ago. Isaiah 35 and verse 6 speaks of streams in the desert. Isaiah 35 speaks of a coming day on this planet when the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign. It is called the millennial period, and it is typified in Isaiah 35, 6 as a time when refreshment and blessing of God will break out as streams in the desert. Streams in the desert are typical of the blessings of God. But the question tonight is this: how can we experience the refreshing presence of God in the heat and the stress of this life? You know, it's one thing to be here in church tonight, kind of a cool beginning to the summer and the weather we're experiencing, but there will be those long days of the commute. There will be those days of stress, those days when trials come, and it's really during those times that we need the refreshing presence of God in our life. Romans chapter 8, I believe, is the key to the refreshing presence of God, for that can be found only by way of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Some Bible scholars refer to Romans chapter 8 as the pinnacle of Scripture. I don't know if that is true, but I know that from this pinnacle, Romans chapter 8, there is a stream flowing, and it is a stream that is found in the presence and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit is vitally needed in our lives because sin is a debilitating disease that fights against every child of God. And the only inoculation and the only power over sin is found when we yield to the powerful one within us, whose name is the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 7 and verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Listen, if the Apostle Paul referred to himself as carnal, if he said, "I am under sin," we might as well start right there too. How many of you are willing to say that in your flesh there is no good thing, that in our flesh tonight we have a carnal nature or a fleshly nature? It is because of that every Christian must make their relationship with the Holy Spirit a priority in their lives. Now, I spoke a moment ago about integrity, honor, and respect. In real terms, for a Christian man, those evidences will not be seen in our lives unless we are Spirit-filled men, unless we are under the control and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We will only do that which comes natural. We will live like junkyard dogs. without the presence of the Holy Spirit. By the way, I have seen some saved men live more wickedly than unsaved men, because when you start feeding the flesh, my friend, and you begin to empower the flesh, there's no way to go but down. But when you yield to the Spirit, there's a fruit, there's a joy, there's a refreshment that comes from the life of a Christian that is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's study tonight the third person of the Trinity, the one who brings streams in the desert. Notice, if you're taking notes tonight, the promises of the Holy Spirit that we see in this passage. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. May I say tonight that if you are a man in this room walking after the flesh, your spirit is sensing condemnation tonight. It's not from this preacher. I'm not condemning you. The Holy Spirit of God is bringing conviction. You cannot, as a saved man, walk after the flesh and feel free and happy and joyful. But when you walk after the Spirit, freedom comes into your life. Now, the gifts of the Spirit and the blessings of the Spirit are many. Notice, first of all, the Holy Spirit produces life within the believer. The Holy Spirit brings life. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation means to be sentenced as for a crime. And when someone has committed a crime, they are condemned as guilty for that crime. But with God's forgiveness, there's no condemnation. And with the presence of the Spirit of God, we are no longer held under that penalty. But we have now the Spirit of God living in our lives, bringing freedom to us. Jesus Christ, when He shed His blood, paid for our condemnation. He paid the price for our sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. What a wonderful thought. The Holy Spirit produces life in the believer. The Holy Spirit, secondly, produces righteousness in the believer. Notice in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, we cannot in our own produce righteousness. We are not able as fleshly human beings to produce righteousness, but God in us produces righteousness. God in us produces the fruit of righteousness and holiness. This is what the Bible says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says it this way, "But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Every single one of us, as men and women of God, must practice the presence of God. We must walk in the Spirit of God. Some men wear a little bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?" Friend, I don't know what you have to do. Tattoo Galatians 5:16 to yourself. I don't know what you have to do, but whatever it takes to get you started in acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit and saying, "Lord, I want to follow your will today. Holy Spirit of God, help me to obey my parents. Holy Spirit of God, help me to witness to my neighbor. Holy Spirit of God, help me to be kind to my wife. Holy Spirit of God, help me produce that within me that I cannot produce on my own. I acknowledge to you, I cannot produce it. These young people sitting before me look fine and look wonderful. And yet, eighth grade graduates, I tell you tonight, there's a devil who's going to target you throughout your teenage years. He's going to try to get you to rebel at your parents. He's going to try to get you to dress in styles that are ungodly and immodest. He's going to try to get you to watch things that you should not watch. And I challenge you as born-again believers that you would listen to the Holy Spirit who lives within you, and that you would walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, but that you would walk in the Spirit so that you might produce the righteousness of God in this world in which we live. Oh, it is so important that we would mind the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces life, and the Holy Spirit produces righteousness. And may I say thirdly, the Holy Spirit produces peace in our lives. The Holy Spirit produces peace in our lives. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I use again, as I have many times tonight, the marital illustration. For a husband or a wife to be carnally minded, thinking of the flesh, following the fleshly pattern, the world, the flesh, the devil, following after things that are not moral, to be carnally minded is to kill your marriage. Carnally minded people are angry. Carnally minded people are sensual outside the bounds of marriage. And to be carnally minded, notice this in the Bible tonight, verse 6, to be carnally minded is what? To be carnally minded, the Bible says, verse 6, is what? Death. To be carnally minded is death. You go around thinking about wicked things. You go about fantasizing about wicked things. To be carnally minded is to put a gun, if you will, to your marriage and to kill your marriage. To be carnally minded is death. Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded destroys the Christian teenager. But notice in verse 6 what it says. But to be spiritually minded is what? Talk to me. Wow. The one who reads the Bible, the one who sings psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, the one who acknowledges the Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Holy Spirit of God, fill me today. Help me to have your will and your way in my life. The one who has the yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in verse number 6, is the one who has life and, what's the next word say? Wow. Now listen very carefully. Teenagers and moms and dads too. When we go through the course of each and every day, acknowledging the Lord, seeking the fullness of the Spirit, asking Him to help us show love, joy, peace, to be men of honor, integrity, and respect. And when we're following predominantly the leading of the Holy Spirit, when we go home at night, you know what we have? Peace. You know sometimes why men are so angry? Because they've been following the flesh all day long and they're convicted about it and they're inner raging about it. To feed the flesh all day long, to listen to the filthy jokes, to watch the filthy things is death. And when someone is dying spiritually, they're frustrated. They're angry. Often the anger and the temper coincides with the flesh, the lust of the flesh. But when we're in the Spirit, and we hear a message about this type of thing, we're at peace, Brother Furso. We can be at peace because of the working of the Spirit in our life. Every one of you know that when you go out and live a day in the Spirit and you're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, you know that you can come home at peace and you're glad that you did. You haven't been calling your wife the old lady. You haven't been doing things you should not do. You didn't waste your money at the gambling station supporting Indian self-reliance. Folks, I'm just saying, it's hard to live for the flesh all day long and come home at night and have peace about it. But when you do what God wants you to do all day long, you have peace about it. Oh, what a blessing. I'm saying the Holy Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit produces righteousness. The Holy Spirit produces peace, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Listen, young people, look right here. We have rules in our school, don't we? How many of you got a demerit this year? Let's see. I thought so. Here I've been bragging on you all night. You're all a bunch of demerit getters. All of us were too, just for the record. You know what? The fact of the matter is that we can try to give you rules, and rules are important. Every successful institution has rules. But what we cannot create in you is the righteous life that God wants you to live. Only the Holy Spirit can help you live that. We're not so silly to think that rules produce it. Rules are boundaries to try to keep you from going out and just destroying your life. And rules help us to have orderliness, but only the Holy Spirit can produce life and righteousness and peace in your life. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm just saying this. It's noticeably wonderful and refreshing to get around someone who's at peace with God. They can look you in the eye and talk with you. Sometimes you try to talk to a teenager who's been in the flesh, a teenager who's not been following the Spirit of God. They cannot look you in the eye. They don't want to talk very long. They're uncomfortable. Why? When you're walking in the flesh, it's not a comfortable thing to be around truth and to be around God's people. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you're at peace. You're at peace. Hey, Brother Furso, how you doing? Good to see you tonight. Man. Hey there, Brother Chapel, how you doing? Can you wash my car tomorrow? Sure. All right, just check it. I'm just taking a little peace check right here, seeing how the peace is flowing. You did pretty good on that one. Sort of like Brother Brian a little while ago. Peace. Where's that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, to produce a life that pleases God. The Holy Spirit produces a life that pleases God. Look in your Bibles, please. Chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Boy, some people say the Bible's hard to understand. I think it's pretty easy to understand. You can't be ticked off. You can't be rebellious. You can't be in the flesh and pleasing God at the same time. The only way to please God is in the Spirit. Romans 7:18. Look at that, chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. Anybody ever find yourself living in that verse? Paul says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but sometimes I don't do it. Why? Because when we're yielded to the flesh, when we're despondent, when we're filled with self-thought, we're not able to do what God wants us to do. Anyone who opens his personality to the living Spirit of God, anyone who opens his heart and yields to the Holy Spirit of God, may be considerably reshaped, considerably changed, but it's always into the person and the image of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us to be more like Jesus Christ. And so the promises of the Holy Spirit are wonderful. Notice secondly and very quickly, the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Most of us know this, and so we'll not spend a lot of time here, but how does someone receive the Holy Spirit of God? Years ago, I saw a silly man on television, and his name is Benny Hinn. And Benny was on television, just a silly man. And he had on his white suit, and he had his hair sprayed down just right and everything. And then he said, now, receive the Holy Spirit. He was just blowing on the people, kind of like blowing kisses on them and so forth. Friend, besides being blasphemy, that's just silly. You don't receive the Holy Spirit from another man. And some of these dear folks, I think it was in some third world country somewhere, like Texas or something like that. I'm not sure where it was, but you know, you talk about the power of suggestion. Benny Hinn's doing this, man, they're falling over, and I mean, it was a spectacle. How do we receive the Holy Spirit of God? We are born of the Spirit at the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. On April the 5th, 1972, I prayed and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. No one blew on me. No one said a special prayer or chant. At that moment, I was born again by the Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit creating a desire in me for Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin. And I was born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And what a blessing to be saved. And if you're here tonight and you have no peace concerning your sin, you have no peace concerning your future, and you try to do your best, but you feel as though you fall short, I have good news for you. God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, His Spirit comes into your life and enables you to live a life that is peaceful and that is pleasing to Almighty God. Being born again is the gift of the Spirit. Being born again gives us new life. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. God says, hey, let me tell you how powerful this really is. This is the Spirit that raised Him up from the dead. And if that Spirit is in you, I think He can help you to have victory over your trials and over your temptation, over your sin. Listen, He hath not made a temptation wherewith He's not also made a way of escape. His Spirit is always there, guiding, directing, filling, and helping us through the difficult times. And so we recognize tonight that the presence of the Holy Spirit of God was made possible at the moment we were saved. But I want you to see finally tonight the product of the Holy Spirit of God. God's promises concerning the Holy Spirit are refreshing. The presence of the Spirit of God is a reality if you are saved. But what do we know about the product of someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Let me give you a few thoughts. First of all, walking in the Spirit promotes a spiritual life. Sometimes we say things like walking in the Spirit. That is to practice the presence of God. That is to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence and to walk with Him in submission and in yieldedness day by day by day. I am the husband of Terry Chapel. We've been married now for over 27 years. Every day of my life, I live with that awareness and with that privilege. And with this relationship that we have, there are certain privileges that God has given to me. The privilege of conversing with her and the privilege of yielding to her and the privilege of loving her. It's something that over 27 years of my life is so real that I could not hardly think of life without her. It's what God has given to us as a gift in our relationship. But even more than that, God says, I want you to be aware of me. I want you to yield to me. I want you to love me. I want you to think about me. I want you in the car to listen to the music that makes you think more about me. I want you in your home to guard things that would take your mind away from me. I want you in the things you listen to please me. Walking in the Spirit promotes a spiritual life. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now listen very carefully. You owe your flesh nothing. Now your flesh cries out every day, feed me, pamper me, you deserve this. Your wife doesn't understand. Your husband doesn't understand. And on the list goes. Verse number 13, though, notice what it says. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. When the flesh says, I want something that is wrong or sinful, then in the power of the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the body. And we claim victory over this body, which was crucified on an old rugged cross, and say that we are in Christ, and we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the presence of His Holy Spirit. You see, nearness is likeness. And if I'm walking near to the Holy Spirit of God, I will be more Christ-like. And when I am away from God, distant during church, absent from church, never reading my Bible, never praying, then my life will reflect the flesh rather than the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You just read through the New Testament, you begin to realize the practicing of the presence of the Holy Spirit is one of the great keys to the Christian life. And no, it's not about blowing in a mass crusade, and it's not about some kind of a bizarre activity that happens once in your life. It's about day after day yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And so we walk in the Spirit to promote spiritual life. And then secondly, we walk in the Spirit to prove the new birth. Can I say this very quickly? When someone has been born again, observing their life over a period of time should be indicative of the fact that they've been born again. Not that we can say who is saved and who is not saved, but when someone has been saved, there should be fruit in their life that tells that they are saved. In fact, Jesus said, they will know you by your fruit. And walking in the Spirit proves our new birth. Notice verse 14. Everybody have their Bible open? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Oftentimes I counsel people who doubt their salvation. Most of the time, it is people who for some period of time have been either in sin or meditating on sin. And the consistent defeat brings this nagging pang within them that causes them to wonder if they're saved. Whether they are saved or not is only discernible through the Spirit of God and the Word of God leading and guiding them. I've never hesitated to help someone pray a prayer of assurance. I don't apologize if a child makes a decision at age 5 and later at camp at age 16 finds assurance of that decision. By the way, don't ever put them down for that. That's wonderful. Because it's only logical and it is biblical that if we have been saved, the Bible says in verse 14, we will be led by the Spirit of God. That is, we will acknowledge Him. We will do what He says. We will show Him the respect that is due to Him. And when we err, and when a child disobeys their parent, and when a husband is unfaithful in some area, when a wife is filled with bitterness, it is during that time that if you can live that way consistently with no conviction, with no sense of living in wrong lifestyle, then there is reason to wonder about whether or not you are saved. Because if you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. And He says, don't quench me. I want you to follow my will. Notice what it says there again in verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If the Holy Spirit says, I want you to forgive and I want you to love, and you say, no, I'm going to harbor bitterness. I'm going to do what I want. If the Holy Spirit says, stay away from this, and you say, I want that, then the Bible says you're not being led of the Holy Spirit. If you are being led of the Holy Spirit, then you are the son of God. Notice verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit itself, bear witness with your spirit that you are saved? Does God's Holy Spirit bear witness with you, with your innermost being, that you are saved? By the way, that's a fair Bible question. Read it again, verse 16. The Spirit itself, capital S, beareth witness with our spirit, small s, that we are what? Children of God. My friend, it's a wonderful thing to have the Spirit of God in your life, and it's a wonderful thing to follow the Spirit, and it's a wonderful thing to be led of the Spirit, because when you're being led of the Spirit, you know that you are the son or the daughter of Almighty God. We must be led of the Spirit. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit. I learned how to drive when I lived in Korea as a teenager. And driving in the Orient is borderline suicidal, really. They have some things over there called traffic circles. How many of you ever navigated a traffic circle? It's sort of like speed cars at Disneyland. And I'm telling you what, the problem with the traffic circles in Korea was that as a young, timid driver trying to get into one, I oftentimes would stall to the side, and then trying to get out of one was hard because of one simple problem. Nobody in the traffic circle wanted to yield. Nobody wants to yield to let you in. Nobody wants to yield to let you out. Sometimes I got in and went round and round and round and round until finally I did what they do and just without looking turned and prayerfully got out of the traffic circle. There was a sign at every traffic circle that was almost always ignored, and the sign had one simple word, and it was the word yield. And God says, I don't want you to ignore that sign. I want you to yield to me. I want you to be led of me. I want you to know that I am your Abba, Father. My spirit is within you, bearing witness that you are my child. And so we see here in the passage, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Friend, tonight, if you've been born again, then you have within you the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God produces peace, joy, righteousness, but you cannot have those things produced in your life if you're rejecting the Spirit of God. You are going to do nothing but go round and round in the circle of life without ever producing. And oh, how we thank God tonight that when we do yield to the Holy Spirit, not to the rules of the church, to the person who literally wants to direct this church, the Holy Spirit, when we yield to Him, all of a sudden, lives are different. Oh, what a great thing tonight that these young people have obeyed their teachers and have come to this point in their life. But it is a greater day again when they practice the presence of the Spirit and when they walk in the Spirit and when they yield to the Holy Spirit of God. May we as a congregation yield to the Holy Spirit during these summer months. I believe this tonight. I have in the past, I may in the future. I know of pastors all over America. Memorial Day weekend, they preach against every known sin to man. They'll preach about dress and music and missing church and not tithing. And I mean, they'll go down the list and peel the paint off the walls. And if I was listening to it, I'd probably be saying amen. But here's what I believe from the depth of my heart. You don't have to tell a spirit-filled Christian all those things. You do not have to tell a spirit-filled Christian to witness, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Jesus. You don't have to tell a spirit-filled Christian to avoid the party scene, because the fruit of the Spirit is righteousness. So many things get right when we get right. And when we are yielded to the Holy Spirit, you know what comes into your home, ladies and gentlemen? Peace. You can follow the flesh right to the point of death, or you can follow the Holy Spirit to the place of peace. And may I say this with all sincerity? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. One of the reasons that I don't lean towards the teachings of Calvinism is because I see the fruit and the evidence of free will every single day. God said, whosoever will may come to be saved. And God does not force His Spirit to lead and guide you. He says, be filled. He says, walk with the Spirit. He says, yield to the Spirit. And so death or peace, the choice is yours. And I challenge you tonight, choose peace. Choose the Holy Spirit. Shall we stand? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we could give lists for the rest of the summer trying to help people to learn how to live and how to behave. But I beg of you tonight, Spirit of the living God, to fall fresh on this place. Fill me, Lord, and fill these people as they yield to thee. And then help us to walk in the fruit of righteousness. Bless every graduate tonight. May they walk in the Spirit. May the peace of God rule in their heart. May the Spirit bear witness with their spirit that they are your children. Please do the work that we cannot do.